Hello, everybody. I'm James, and I'm an addict.
James.
First, I'd like to thank God for waking me up this morning, and thank the South Potomac area for inviting me to come out and speak at this meeting. First, I got to tell you, I'm real nervous. I've been nervous ever since they asked me, and I done prayed, right? But I'm still nervous. But I know it's going to be all right. A little bit about me is, I shot a lot of dope and I shot a lot of coke. I came in the program real beat up, y'all. I came in after being run out of the city of Miami, and my mother's paid for a bus ticket for me to come back to Washington. I really didn't want to come back because I had 7 warrants out on me, and that's what made me leave Washington in the first place. The first person I met that had actually stopped using the drugs that I was using was a lady by the name of Tempe A. Wilson at the last Renaissance program in Washington, D.C. This program was on the grounds of St. Elizabeth's Hospital, and I had a real problem with my mother getting me on the St. E. I thought everybody over there was crazy. I didn't know that I was one of them. And I stayed a year. I did a year over there. I made it to that part of the program where we went out and went to work every day. And I was working out in Rockville, and I was catching a bus that went right up 7th Street. And I don't know how many people in here know about 7th Street in Washington, D.C. in 1982. There was a tree on 7th Street that had a camera in it. One day I was coming back, I was going up and down that street pretty successfully until one day I seen somebody that I had used with, and it happened to be on a payday. I seen this person, and I thought about the good times that we had when we got high, and I got off the bus. Needless to say, I didn't make it back to Last Renaissance until the next day, and I went in there, and I didn't want nobody to say nothing to me. I went upstairs because I knew I was leaving the program. I knew they was putting me out, and I knew I didn't want to be there no more. And I went upstairs, and I began to pack my stuff. Tempe came upstairs and sat on my bed. She didn't say a word, and I just kept on packing. And then all of a sudden, I made eye contact with Tempe, and I just broke down and started crying. That was the beginning for me. That was the recognition for me that I had a problem, and I didn't know what it was. Needless to say, I went back out and I got all 7 of those warrants got served on me. Now today I'm a 4-time convicted felon, but that's all right because I can look you in the eye and tell you that, and I ain't got no problem with telling. I mean, even the people on my job know that I'm a convicted felon. They know that I go to meetings, and they know they're subject to get cussed out at any time. So, and they also know I've spent a year on the grounds of St. Elizabeth's, so they kind of leave me alone at work, right? But when I got here, in our literature, one of the most important lines I ever read in my life that since I've been here was a line that said, it was through our inability to take care of our personal responsibilities that we were creating our own problems. At the time I seen that line, I knew it meant something to me, but I didn't know what. I was one of those people that was, I was too proud or too arrogant to ask anybody, what did that line mean? I came in wanting y'all to think that I knew what y'all were talking about, and I didn't. My first 3 years, I sat in here and I mimicked everything that y'all had said. I would go to one meeting, hear what y'all say, and I would go to another meeting and repeat it like I came up with it, And after 3 years of doing that, I got just what my hand called for. Because I had been sitting around for 3 years watching people go out in the morning and come back that evening and get a new 24-hour chip. I didn't know that those 3 years, I was very envious of those people. I wanted to be able to do that. And when I had my first 3-year anniversary, I couldn't wait for it to be over. Because I had a pocket full of money, and I said, I'm just going to go get me one billy. I'm going to go get it. It was about 11 o'clock at night. I was going to go get this building, and I was going to come back. We have an 11 o'clock meeting. I was going to come to that 11 o'clock meeting and get me a new 24-hour chip. I went back out, and when I got back, it was 18 months later. In those 18 months, I did all the things that I had heard in those 3 years. You know, I had slept in it. You know, I had a lot of night yes when I first got here. They all caught up with me in those 18 months. I slept in an abandoned car. I got water out of a creek to put on dope. I got water out of a toilet stool to put on dope. I was with people that I didn't want to be with in order to get high. Sometimes those people were men. I mean, it was like everything y'all had talked about, I did in 18 months. And when I got back here, I thought I was beat up the first time when I came out of Miami. But when I got back the next time, I didn't even know who I was. I came in here with a crisis. I came in with a sexual identity crisis. I came in here with a I don't know who I am crisis. And I'm real grateful to the Metropolitan Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., because they have a meeting there every Wednesday. And it was a man there that just told me to just sit down, take it easy, take my foot out my ass, and just start all over. I just knew I had to do something different. Because, you know, my favorite things to say them first 3 years, whenever somebody confronted me about anything, I would say stupid stuff like, thanks for sharing. You know, I would say dumb stuff like, keep the focus on yourself. You know, real dumb stuff. You know, stuff I had heard, and I thought this was real slick stuff to say. But these people were actually trying to help me. You know, and all I could do was get fly and, get, you know, and crack out the side of my neck because I didn't know how to do anything else. And it wasn't until one day this man at Metropolitan Baptist Church got me to come into a meeting and just ask, just tell y'all, I do not know how to do this thing. I just don't know how. I do not know how to respond to people that are trying to help me. You know, every time I thought somebody was trying to help me before, I thought they were out to get something from me or hurt me in some way. See, I'm a military brat also. And if you don't know what that means, that means that I came up in a military family. My father ran our house like it was a barracks. And one of the issues that I have with people is because, see, every 2 or 3 years we moved. I'd have been almost all over the world. But every 2 or 3 years we would move. And it would always be when I done got close to somebody. And what happened over the years was I started building up a wall that every 2 or 3 years, if you're still in my life after 2 or 3 years, I get prepared to lose you. There's something that goes on inside of me that says you're not going to be here after 3 years. And so I start preparing myself, especially if I feel like I'm close to you. I will begin to prepare myself. I start shutting down. I start creating little stuff, you know, to sabotage things. You know, you'll think that I just don't want to be bothered anymore. But what's really happening is I'm scared that you're not going to be here. And therefore, I'm going to be on my own again. And I really didn't begin to get honest about this until a couple of years ago when my mother died. You know, see, my mother was real special to me, you know, because she was the only one that when I got locked up that would come to the jail, even though I had asked her not to, because every time she came, because in the jails I was in, you couldn't touch. You had to talk to them on the phone through plexiglass. And so when my mother would come up there and I would have to pick up that phone and talk to her, all I could do was cry, you know. But when I get back in the cell block, I was, you know, don't mess with me, you know. and I mean, it was a long time before I could actually come in meetings and cry and talk about what's really going on with me, you know. And people in meetings, when I got here, tolerated me. I mean, they want, you know, because I was an asshole when I first got here, man, for real. I mean, come on, y'all. I was crudding, you know. I was, you know. And I don't know why I keep saying was. I believe I'm still cruddy for real, you know. I mean, I'm slimy as shit, right? You know, and through the grace, I've learned to love that side of me. You know, because, you know, one of the things I've learned, man, is that I don't get caught up in positive and negative. I don't get caught up with right and wrongs. I believe as a person, I'm all of that. You know, some days I'm good, some days I'm bad. And whatever I'm doing, it's a part of me, and I need to like that part of me, and I need to love that part of me in order to go on with whatever I got to do. You know, I don't like, you know, I get up at 3 o'clock every morning, and I don't always want to get up. I really don't. And I've been responsible now for a long time. And I get tired of being responsible. You know, when I first got here, my first sponsor, that was his issue with us. You know, we need to learn responsibility. And like I said, that line that said my inability to take care of my personal responsibility, I didn't even know what my personal responsibilities were. You know, today I know that, you know, my needs are to eat. I have to eat. I need shelter. I need clothing. Those are my needs. Everything after that is a want. You see what I'm saying? And I had to understand. It took me a long time. I remember I was in 2 Genesis, and they asked us to do a list of 10 things that we need and 10 things that we want. At the top of my need list was a woman. Now, mind you, I'm a four-time convicted felon. I spent every year from the age I was 21 to the age of 29, I spent part of every year in jail. There were no women. So I didn't, but you know, my thinking was just screwed up. And like I said, y'all tolerated me with that. And I would talk, and I would say this stuff in meetings like I really knew what I was talking about. You know, look, I got it going on, y'all. You know, I know what I need, a woman. I done come a long way from that. You know, because I've been, you know, now I done got, I've been married in this program. I've been divorced in this program. I've bought a house in this program. I've lost a house in this program. I've been diagnosed as a diabetic. Well, I was a diabetic before I got to the program. I learned how to take care of it since being in the program. One of those personal responsibilities. I remember when I was married, I used to think it was my wife's responsibility to take care of my diabetes. You need to fix me a certain kind of type of food, you know, and you need to make sure I don't have no stress. You know, you need, you know. And today, I know that that's my responsibility. I have to take care of those things. And I do it, and the way I begin to do it is I've learned how to pray for the willingness and the strength to do those things, man, because I think that was the thing that was missing all the while, because I didn't, you know, I knew how to pray, you know, God, let the judge be in a good mood this morning, you know, let this guy that's going in front of me, don't let this guy piss the judge off, you know, those kind of prayers, right? I didn't know how to pray, you know, God, just let me be the best person that I can be today, you know, whatever you want today, if you can get it from me, get it. You know, show me what to do. I didn't know how to do that. I know how to do that today. And it's really through this program. You know, I've had a lot of help. A lot of people have been in my life in this program. I've got people in my life that have been in my life now for 10, 12 years. My clean date is January 9th, 1989. And there are people that have been here in my life from day one. You see what I'm saying? So that's how far things have changed for me. Things have changed where I'm no longer afraid after when I see you there the day after the 3-year period. If you're still there, I'm not afraid, and I don't need that wall that I used to have, you know. And y'all have really helped me, and I'm just real grateful, you know. I talk a lot about people. Because when I got here, that's what was in the rooms. If God was talking to me when I got here, I didn't know it. You know, and sometimes I get real caught up in meetings when I hear people talking about how people will fail you. You know, and you got to put all your faith in God. You know, and that just doesn't click with me. You know, I need y'all. God knows I need y'all. See what I'm saying? And so that's why, you know, I mean, what I learned, because I done felt some of that hurt when I share with somebody and then they take it somewhere and give it to somebody else and it comes back. I felt that hurt. But what I know is that if I'm a man and I say it out of here, then I need to be willing to face it when it comes back. And that's all God is doing, is making sure that I can face what I say and be accountable for what I do. Because I'm going to be accountable for, you know, I was accountable when they locked me up. I ain't want to be. You know, I remember the police had their foot in my neck in the middle of George Palmer Highway. And they didn't care what my feelings were, you know. I came in at a time, you know, when Nixon had just gotten finished doing his thing. And I kept going to jail, and I used to say, well, why y'all don't lock Nixon up? And I had to come to a meeting for y'all to tell me why they kept picking on me. And y'all told me, because you keep breaking the law. You know? I mean, little dumb stuff, man. You know, I mean, I've suffered with all the stuff that I've heard in meetings, man, you know. And today, you know, it sounds real strange when I hear people talking like me today, right? You know, when I hear people saying the little silly stuff that I used to say, it sounds strange and it tends to mess me up. And what it does for me is motivate me to keep coming to these meetings, because I don't never want to sound like that again. I don't never want to come in here and say, you know, why y'all keep picking on me? Or, you know, or why is this happening to me? Whatever's happening to me, today has probably got something to do with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's got something to do with me. It begins with me. I mean, I can go somewhere and, like this convention. I remember when I first started coming. I've been here every year. I've been clean. And I remember my first one, I had on a pink shirt, a green, a lime green, and I think it was sheer sucker. Am I saying it right? Sheer sucker, sport coat, and some black slacks. And if you told me I didn't look good, I'd have fought you. You know? And I still got that picture, man. And no, I ain't got that one. Somebody in my house would have a problem with me if I had. But, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, every year I used to come to this convention, I used to think that I had to buy something new to come to this convention. And I know some of y'all can identify.
Okay.
And if you don't, the stores you shop at will tell me that. But, you know, I mean, those are the phases we go through in here, man. I mean, it's like, you know, I remember everything I bought used to have somebody else's name on it. Tommy, Donna, Karen. It has somebody's name on it. And I was so picky that I wasn't buying the imitation stuff, y'all. I had to have the real thing. And that's why I had to file bankruptcy in 1995. You know, because I had to have the real stuff. You know, I couldn't have that stuff that came off the stand. You know, today I'll wear it. You know. But I, like I said, man, I've had so many different experiences in here, and at the time I was going through these experiences, they didn't all feel good. And what I know today is that everything you go through isn't always supposed to feel good. There are some things in here that are supposed to feel bad, regardless of whether or not you want them to feel, you know, the way you want them to be. But sometimes we do some things, and the feeling we get is the one we're supposed to have. And because we don't want to have it, we find ourselves in other situations that tend to keep us locked down, trapped in utter desperation, feeling like ain't no hope, ain't nothing ever going to get no better, things aren't going to change, and when, Lord, when are you going to take me out of here? You know? I've asked myself those kind of things, man, and today I know that, you know, he's in charge. You know, I mean, I ain't running nothing. You know, I don't run nothing, y'all. And I'm just real glad to be here. You know, I don't know if I can talk 30 minutes or not, but I know the butterflies have calmed down. The room is packed, you know. You know, Charlene got some butterflies, and I'm going to let her get hers off, you know. But I really want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank y'all for allowing me to be a part of y'all, for real. Because I know without y'all, I don't make it, you know, for real. I really don't. And I'm really glad to see everybody. A lot of y'all I know, a lot of y'all I don't. But I know for one thing, I know where we all come from. And as long as we stay in places like this, we got a shot. We got a shot. And that's all I'm really asking for, you know. Yes, I am still learning how to take care of my personal responsibilities. And I think that's healthy for me. I think as long as I'm in a state of learning, right, then I'll get better. It's when I think that I already got the answers or I already know, you know, that I'm in trouble. I want to thank y'all again. Again, I want to thank God and Sovereign Commander.
The next speaker I'd like to introduce is Charlene.
Thank you. Good afternoon, group. My name is Charlene Maddox.
Charlene.
And I would like to first thank my God for being so kind to me, so forgiving, and so merciful. Why are we here? After using for 18 years, and I started off using marijuana. Hello. Then it progressed to snorting cocaine and heroin. Yeah. Then I elevated to shooting cocaine and heroin. Someone once told me you can save your drugs. It will last longer if you shoot rather than snort. So that's what I did. You know, why are we here? For me, my addiction was very progressive. It doesn't matter if it's slow or fast, it's all downhill. You know, I started off coming on a strip, putting my money out the window, and I got curb service. Because at first I didn't want to be out with y'all, because y'all ain't look too good to me. And then one day, I gave the guy the money, and he didn't come back with the drugs. Okay? From that day on, I got out with you all. To show you how progressive was, I was out there so much, y'all was asking me, twin, who got it? You know, the things that made me feel bad early on began to set okay in my soul. You know, I didn't unlike the idea I'm standing out on 14th Street, cars and buses going up and by, life going on, people going to work, and I'm up there trying to find out who got it. It didn't feel good at first, but repetition made it all right with me. You know, it got to the point I began to commit crimes, began to steal, rob people. You know, I oftentimes think, why would a college grad do things like this? But the illness was so progressive for me, I just couldn't stop. You know, it got to a point, you know, I felt real good because I was on comping a quarter by myself, or maybe with my sister. I felt a little better then if somebody else was going four in on a quarter. I felt a little bit better when I was going in my armpits and somebody else was going somewhere else. It got to the point I had nowhere to go. I can recall being in Washington Hospital Center, and a doctor told me that I would never maybe be able to talk again. On the way to work one morning, I had to stop down at this oil gallery, lay down, and let someone inject some solution that I didn't even know what it was into my body. I mean, that's insanity. Couldn't talk for approximately maybe 2 or 3 months. And I recall praying every night that God give me my voice back because I had paralyzed my vocal cord. That's why I know God is so good.
Yes.
Okay? God is so good. That's why we got to keep coming back to find out how good God really is. Because I really don't think God got me clean to live the way I used to live. You know, so why are we really here? For me, I think we're here first to learn, you know, from you all that came before me, to do some step work with my sponsor. So then and only then I'm able to give back what I've all learned. You know, even after being around the rooms, I'm almost 17 years, I still go to meetings, I still communicate with my sponsor, I still do step work, and I still help somebody. You know, we're here because we got to give back what was given to us. And see, that's good for me because y'all put me to work. I got to continue to learn so I can give back, so I can teach someone what was taught to me. Now, this is a wonderful program. You know, and as a result of incorporating the steps in your life, that is when we're really able to do some things here. We're able to reap the benefits of this program as a result of working the steps. You know, so why are we here? We're here so we can make things better within our soul. Because, you know, it takes time. You know, after we remove the drugs from our life, that's not enough. Because for most of us, this is just the tip. You know, we have other issues and other symptoms as to why we even picked up from the beginning. And oftentimes it started when we was children. You know, things I never could tell my mother, because that's the way my household was. You know, you don't talk about certain things. You don't tell an adult how you really feel. So for those reasons, I used for many years, because I just didn't, was able to express how I felt. I wasn't able to tell that man that I really didn't like who you really were, and I didn't like how you treated me. But I kept on using. And then, you know, after you come around, you do some step work. You do expect to feel better inside. I don't expect to act like the way I act prior to coming into these rooms, if I've worked the steps, okay? You know, it doesn't feel good any longer hurting another human being. You know, part of why we're here is to be better mothers, better fathers, better children, better parents, and better people. You know, all the time I don't like doing certain things, but I do them anyway because I'm grateful for this program. You know, we just can't come around, go to a lot of meetings, do a lot of sharing, and go home and don't have time for your children. I have time to come to a lot of meetings, but I don't have time to go to a PTA meeting. That's not what this program is about. Why are we here? We're here to be productive members of society. You know, hey, the drugs are gone. It's time to learn how to live and enjoy life as others enjoy. And part of our purpose here is to do those things. You know, we don't come in here and do a bunch of good sharing and then go home and abuse your spouse, you know, hit your wife, or be short-tempered with your children. Go home, get on the phone, and try to assassinate someone in the rooms. You know, we're here, too, to extend some love to one another. And sometimes that love has to be learned, because we don't know how to love. And we say in the spirit of NA, we need to do things, then we need to start doing. Sometimes I got to be courageous enough to tell somebody, you know, I don't want to engage in malicious gossip. You know, it doesn't feel too good to be ridiculed. You know, why are we here? We're here to support one another, to pick each other up when we fall. You know, I've been around a little while, and I am not perfect. You know, I have faults, you know, and I have to learn, this is for me, to make better decisions in my life. You know, sometimes you do things, and you don't feel too good on the inside. You don't have nothing to do with nobody but you and God. You know, sometimes we got to take that leap for yourself. not to impress nobody, but so you can feel good within yourself. You know, sometimes we got to step up and be men and women and be courageous enough to do some things about your life. You know, we're here also to make things better for us. You know, there are people out here that are doing some great things. Went back to school, got their degrees, going on. And people talk about them because they got Mercedes and Jaguars or whatever. Because we lack the courage to go back to school and do something for ourselves.
Right.
So what we do is talk about them. Right. They think they're cute, she thinks she's cute. You know, it's an inside job. And it's okay to have material things in this program. Because I don't think my God got me clean to be broke. That's just for me. Okay? You know, he told me, you can have whatever you want right now. You don't have the drugs that's going to stand in your way. You can have whatever you want. If you want that house, you can have that house. If you want to keep that house, you can keep it too. But you got to do certain things. That's what it's all about. And sometimes we try to not do those things. We try to get the easy, softer way out. We try to make a fast dollar. We still try to entertain in that quick fix.
That's right.
And sometimes it just don't work. Most times it don't work, you know. And then you know all the time it's going to come out, you know. But you either pay it now, you pay it later. You're going to pay. Sometimes you do the work now, you do it later, but you're going to do the work. You can fall down and ask God for help now, or you can wait till later. You don't have to wait until you get 10 years in the program to ask God to change some things about yourself. Most of us know our shortcomings. I'm talking about what you got to deal with. That's why it's important to do some step work. To find out what makes me weak. Why I still find a lot of comfort and joy in eating food. Okay? And I can go out and eat me a good food and feel so good. And I would spend the money on it too. And feel good about it. Give me some dessert. And know that I can't fit stuff, you know. And say it's all right. Somebody's going to want me. But then when I go home and really take my clothes off and look at myself, I really don't feel good about what I've done to myself. Nobody did it but me, okay? So you got to take that attitude in other areas of your life, too. You know, some of us are in relationships that we don't need to be in. Some of us are in relationships that are no good. Sometimes it's hard. I'm talking about dealing with the flesh.
Yeah,
you know, I'm talking about why are we here? We're here to try to be better people. We're here to try to make it better on the inside because it's an inside job. And the only thing you're going to do is to do something that's going to change. And change is not easy. But they say if you don't change, you're destined to repeat your past. One thing's for sure, you keep doing the same thing, you know, you're going to get what you're going to get, the same old thing. You know, sometimes we expect and we pray that somebody else change. But I don't have the courage to change myself. And if I change, things will change, you know. And when I'm beginning to learn here within the last few years is recovery is not all about what happens to you along the road. It's more about how you react to the things that happen in life. I have an opportunity to make a change anytime I want. Sometimes I neglect to do something to better myself. Is that insanity? I did the same thing I did last week or last month, and I feel the same old way. See, and oftentimes we got to be loving and kind and let people go through what they have to go through. And when you're sick and tired, you're going to surrender just like you surrender to drugs. But the people in your network, in your life, they got to be loving and kind and pray for you and not turn their back on you and not be so darn judgmental. People got a lot of time, scared to say what's really going on in their life for fear of cult assassination and people being judgmental. I'm here to tell you it's okay. It's okay to talk about life on life's terms. That's why we're here, to share honestly what's going on. You know, I come around to hear a message of hope and to continue to learn. You know, I haven't gone through everything, so I need to come and hear how does a person deal with death in their family. And I still have my parents. I got to talk about how I sacrifice some things I want to do for myself to do something for my daughter. You know, sometimes we don't know how to deal with each other, even for our family members. Most of us can deal with each other better than we can for our family members. Yeah. You know, we show each other this love, but we haven't called our parents in a whole year. We haven't checked on them. Haven't been up to the school. It doesn't matter if your children live with you or not. They're your children.
Yeah, that's right.
Check on them.
That's right.
Okay? Sometimes we got to work on getting our family back together. You know, we come in here, we're broken up. Some of us come in here under the direction of the court. We don't even have our children with us. You know, we got work to do. You know, it's all about what's important to you. You know, we got to practice certain principles in all your affairs. That's why we're here. Just not to do good here. You know, God wants us to do good all the time. You know, and I got to listen to you all, too. You know, I had a serious situation on my job a few years ago. I had 20 years of service, and my supervisor tried to actually fire me. And she wasn't even an addict. And I'm an addict, right? I said, she really don't know what she's messing with. I know I've been clean a little while, but I was still kind of connected with the underworld. You know, I can get somebody to do something here now. And, you know, then I had a little money, too. Okay, I could have paid somebody to do something to her or her property. But you know what y'all told me? That's why you have to have a good network. Because I could have went to the wrong person. They could see, I know somebody. And all you got to do is so-and-so, we can mess up their car. You know? But I went to some people, and they told me, it's going to be all right. Just pray. And continue to go to work. And things will be all right. Now, some things will happen to you in your life that you know ain't nobody do it for you but God. Yeah. This woman had the odds was against me. She had everybody on her side, the whole darn government, from the city administrator down. And only I had you people in my guard, and I prayed. God removed me from that situation, placed me in a new agency, gave me the same salary with less responsibilities. Thank you, Jesus. I said, God is so good. See, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. You can't give up. You know, I could have put my resignation in and, you know, just went on and quit or retaliated violently, but I didn't. I hung in there. And I just got this a calm feeling that went over me. God told me, I told you so. If you believe in me, I just had to trust in him. But sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy, but you can do it. And oftentimes I think, you know, I'd be on my job, I'd be thinking, how good life has really been for me. But I had to participate also, okay, in the outcome. You got to do some things. Things is not going to happen just because you believe in God. You know, you got to do some work. You got to take some positive action in your life. You know, while we're here, We're here to do God's work. Whatever you think your purpose is, you got to find it. And you may not find it within the first year or two. But I truly believe God intended for us to come in here to help each other through the steps, through your own experiences, to make things better for your life. I'm the type of person I believe sponsorship is very important. That's just what how I believe, okay? You know, I've had the same sponsor ever since day one. And I believe it's very important to hold the role of a sponsor. You know, being a sponsor oftentimes means you can't tell everything that was told to you. You know, you can come in a meeting and talk about whatever, and it may get across town before you get home, but it shouldn't happen like that when you tell your sponsor something. You know, part of doing step work, you know, taking that fifth step is telling somebody that you feel comfortable with all those dark secrets. You know, you don't have to come in the rooms and do a fifth step in the rooms. It didn't say that, you know, in the basic text. You know, it's not easy and it's not that hard. But for me, change has been constant. Sometimes I got to recognize that I got to be courageous enough to accept life on life's terms. And to say, okay, it happened. I can't dwell in what happened, but to continue on and move on with my life. And that process could be short and it could be a little long. But during that process, we still got to do some things. I had some trials and tribulations right here in the rooms, but I continue to do certain things. I continue to help somebody. I continue to go to meetings. And I also continue to pray. Sometimes that evil thought comes to my mind telling me, well, you're going through something, you know, stay home. You went to work, go home, go to bed, and feel bad. Telephone rings, somebody need help, and you don't pick up the phone because you're going through something. But you get so much relief when you help somebody else. And that's the paradox of this program. How we can help one another with no strings attached. Got a few more minutes. This is the message for people who come into the rooms and they really don't like where they are. Maybe you don't like your living arrangements and you really had dreams all your life that you dreamed that you want to have this nice house. You may have had a dream that you want to drive on this nice car. Me, I had a dream I want this wonderful, godly husband, okay? Still don't have one. I'm talking about my dreams, okay? And it's okay to have dreams. And it's okay to stay steadfast to your dreams. Because when your dreams die, you die. You got to keep on moving towards something. Keep on working towards your dreams. And don't let no one come in between you and your dreams. Because oftentimes we're going to have friends who are going to tell you, well, I don't think that's such a good idea. And you're trying to do something, you know, exceed in life. You're trying to maybe change on careers. Maybe you're trying to go back to school. They say, well, you got on 2 or 3 kids, 4 or 5 kids. You can't do that and go to school and all at the same time. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do. Maybe you're in an abusive relationship and you're scared, you're unemployed, you don't have a job, and you depend on that man for a place to live, so you got to stay there and take physical abuse from him. No, you don't. You know, this program, through working the steps, can offer you the benefits, peace of mind. That's what I'm working towards, peace. I want a peaceful life. You know, I don't want a whole lot of drama because I had a whole lot of drama in my life. And I can get caught up in the drama. And you know what? You can get caught up in the drama and it can be filled just like you're using. Mm-hmm. Just like you got to exceed, you got to win. Right here in these rooms. You know, why are we here? Think about it. You know, we say we, but it becomes personal when you ask yourself that. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. And it may take a little prayer, it may take a little courage, it may take a little bit, whatever, but you can do it. Now, I didn't want to take certain courses for fear of failure. Fear of not doing so well. Fear of looking bad amongst people who are a lot younger than me. You know? Didn't like to read all these books and whatever because when I read it, it made me tired. You know? I guess I was reading in the bed. You know? Maybe I had to get out the bed and sit at the desk and read. You know? Maybe I had to start reading a little earlier. Wait until 10, 11 o'clock to start reading. I'm also a procrastinator. I procrastinate about certain things and do well at other things. So don't be so hard on one another, because what other persons have struggling with, you may do well in, well, they may be doing well in something that you can struggle in. So that's why we're here to support each other. Not yet. In a minute. We got to support each other. And when we fall, we got to pick each other up. Don't look at you while you're in there in your lot of pain. Now, some of us don't even want to give a person good information because they ain't doing something. You know, misery oftentimes like company, okay? You know, it takes a good person to say, tell somebody the right thing to do, even when they ain't living right. Some people want a husband, but they're going to say they don't just because they don't have one. It's okay to say what you want, because God knows the desires of your heart. He knows. And that's what we had to come in here and change on the inside. With that, I'm going to keep coming back, and thank you all.
We got a few minutes. Anybody like to share? Hi, Regina. Meeting going on.
Hi, family. I'm Regina. I'm a blessed addict. It's warm here, not only temperature-wise, but the atmosphere. I'm a newcomer. God has allowed for me to get 6 months, 3 days. But I want y'all to know that, I mean, there is love here. There are some other things here, but I won't get to that. But if y'all see me, like, running around and... In short, I will say this. And I have learned, and I have been open-minded, that we are where we should be. So if anybody see me and think I could benefit from something that's positive, grab me, because this is my first convention. And with that, I keep coming back.
Anyone else?
All right, family, my name is Cliff. I'm an addict. And I want to thank the predecessors of Narcotics Anonymous for keeping it going. And I'd also like to thank the God of my understanding for keeping me safe and bringing me to this day. This workshop is a good one. Why are we here? And the reason that I'm in here, when I say in here, in this particular workshop is because when you see me, there are two readings that describe me. And one of those is, who's an addict and why are we here? All right. And the first two lines of the reading of why are we here says, before we came to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. And today I'm telling you that because of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and because I stopped using, and because I kept coming back, because I'm doing step work, because I have a sponsor, and because I'm praying today, before I came to these rooms, I didn't pray because I didn't see the need to pray. I did pray when I was out on the street, yes. I prayed the conditional prayers, like, oh, Lord, don't let the cops be down there. Don't let the jump out be down there. So they were conditional prayers. Today it's a different kind of prayer. Why am I here? I'm here today because it's about change. Okay, it's about change for me. And I'm only here for me. In the beginning, like Charlene, they were trying to fire me. They came real close. As a matter of fact, they came so close, they already had the letter done up. All the supervisor had to do was put the date stamp it and put her name on it and give it to me and say, see ya. Like that new program on You Are the Weakest Link. You know, a lady says, oh, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. That's what they were going to do to me, tell me goodbye. But there were people on my job that were in recovery who they talked to, who came to me and said, Cliff, come on, you need some help. Come on, you know, we'll help you. I was in denial, a procrastinator also, because I didn't think anything was wrong. So I took that chance, I took that shot, and got some help, and ended up in a program and continued on this journey called recovery. And for me, recovery is the best thing that has ever happened to me. And for me, why am I here? I like how I'm living today. That's why I'm here. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And nobody can kick me out. All right. The only thing about this thing that I want to say to those that are new is that please keep coming back. It works. It works if you want it, and it works if you don't want it. It's here for you. You know, the two speakers talked about having things. And it is true. You can have a castle or a hut. It's up to you. You have a choice today. I am learning that I have a choice today. It doesn't matter what that choice is. It's about a choice today. I have a spiritual choice. I have a physical choice. Charlene mentioned about eating, and I'm one that likes to eat. So I got to learn how to push away from the table and make that choice about what's good for me. This process called recovery is teaching me a great deal. It's nothing like it. So if you haven't found that suit that fits you, keep coming back. All right. Some people are good speakers, good communicators. Other people are better at service work. But the bottom line is this process called recovery works. And it works when you don't want it. It works when you want it. And it's working for me, and I hope everyone enjoys this particular convention, and I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
I'd like to thank everyone for sharing. Can we have a reading for Jess for today?
Hey, Shannon.
Just for the day. Can we close?